For much of the past year, computer trade journals and internet magazines have been running articles questioning the health of the internet. Pessimists say the web of computer networks known as the internet cannot keep up with growing demand, that it will soon be plagued by brownouts and other disruptions, perhaps even collapse. There is also the concern that the public's patience may wear thin as actual experience fails to live up to the internet's early hype. NPR's John McChesney examined these worries about the internet's health and has this report.
More than anyone else, Bob Metcalf is responsible for the national debate about the health of the internet. Last December, in his column in the trade journal InfoWorld, Metcalf predicted the collapse of the internet this year. Coming from anyone else, such a prediction probably would have been scoffed at. But Bob Metcalf is no ordinary Cassandra. He invented the most widely used networking technology, called Ethernet, and he was one of the pioneers of the internet. Metcalf says today's internet has a number of serious weaknesses.
All of which can be explained by the internet having outgrown its original conception, that is, it's being used for purposes for which it wasn't intended. And as a result of the fantastic success that's been achieved, it's now outgrown itself and is in need of revamping it in many places.
To understand the weak links in the internet, it'll be helpful to describe briefly how the internet works by tracing an email message sent across the United States. After you've written a message and hit the send button, the message is broken down into a number of small packets of bits, which leave your computer, usually through a modem. At the front end of each packet is the destination address. The packets travel to a service provider, such as America Online, where they enter a high-speed computer called a router, which reads each address and passes the packets on to the next link in the chain. The data is then sent across the country on the internet backbones, large bundles of high-speed glass fibers, then emerges again where other routers zip the packets on to their destination. Now, bottlenecks can develop at any of these points on the internet, on your connection, on your service provider's routers or other routers along the way, on the backbone, or on the computer you're trying to connect to. But according to Bob Metcalf, there's one point that's weaker than all the rest.
Routing is at the moment, the most dangerous, most fragile, and most overburdened part of the network, the one most likely to cause collapse.
The phenomenal growth of the internet has added more and more computers to the net, and this has strained the routing computers to the breaking point. Most of us tend to think of the internet in the same way we think of the telephone network, but the two networks couldn't be more different. When you make a phone call, you dial into a central switching facility, which connects you directly to the number you've dialed. A telephone system looks like a hub with spokes. All lines lead to a central switch. But the internet looks more like a web. There is no central hub. Data is passed along the web by routers, which are constantly talking to one another and getting the lay of the land, or cyberspace, so they can choose the path of least resistance or steer packets around malfunctioning spots on the internet. Peter Alexander is with Cisco Systems, the company that makes almost all the routers used on the internet.
A router is like a mail sorter that you would see in the mail system, and the analogy is very good in that the mail system receives all information in packets, you know, letters, whatever. And the mail sorter looks at those packets and then puts them in a slot or sends them to a destination, which is not the ultimate destination, but the next level of handling, mail handling, and the router does the same thing. And a packet may go through potentially tens or hundreds of routers on its path, particularly if you're accessing a web page in China or somewhere very remote.
But this analogy with the postal system can't be pushed too far. Remember that a single email letter will be broken down into a number of packets, and the router may send each of those packets on an entirely different path across the rest of the internet. Then, at the destination, the packets are reassembled in the proper order by the receiving computer. And to do their complex relaying job, routers depend on massive routing tables or lists of other routers. And as thousands more computers are added to the internet, those tables have become too lengthy and cumbersome. Then, when the system is overtaxed by heavy traffic, packets get lost. Paul Schrader, the head of PSINet, one of the nation's largest internet companies, explains what happens when packets are lost.
When a router loses a packet, the sending router sends the packet again and again and again. And the user doesn't know that that's happening, so they just see nothing. So they see slowness. Meanwhile, the network is working feverishly to try to catch up.
And that only makes the situation worse. This is often what's happening while you're waiting impatiently for a web page to appear on your screen. So, will those overworked routers cause the internet to collapse? Again, Cisco Systems, Peter Alexander.
I cannot say that I don't think there'll be spots on the internet where we see the infrastructure overwhelmed. Do I think the whole internet will come down at any time this year? I do not.
Alexander says Cisco is building faster routers, and he says that his company is working on hybrid technologies that will help reduce the problems. Not surprisingly, he believes his company can keep up with the rising demand. But is the internet slowing down, as Bob Metcalf has suggested? It sure seems that way much of the time. But a study done by an internet watchdog service called Matrix in Austin, Texas, shows that internet speeds overall have improved by 30% over the past 2 years. But that figure, of course, is just an average, and if you visit a popular website during peak traffic, you can count on a frustrating experience until the equipment all along the web is improved. And Bob Metcalf says there's not enough money coming in to build infrastructure fast enough.
The internet was designed by people, including myself, who were not interested or concerned about money. There is this notion in the internet folklore that capacity should be paid for on a fixed monthly rate, no matter how much you use. And that is it's a very simple to implement but very naive billing system.
Metcalf believes that rather than a fixed rate, like $19.95 a month for unlimited usage, internet providers should charge just like the phone companies, by measuring how long you're connected and how far you're transporting bits. On this point, Metcalf has little support in the internet industry. Here's Paul Schrader of PSINet.
Doing away with the flat rate on the internet will do away with the internet. PSINet will defend the flat rate.
Others agree with Schrader, pointing out that one of the great satisfactions of the internet is the ability to connect with any point on the globe and download lengthy files or view websites with lots of content. If people had to pay for that on a metered basis, the internet would be much less attractive and probably less viable as a commercial marketplace. And many people in the internet business community believe that the net will thrive under the present payment system, that in fact, stressing the system is what makes it grow. Mark Andreessen, one of the creators of the World Wide Web and a co-founder of Netscape, says there's always been an incentive to build additional internet infrastructure.
The incentive now is simple economics. For the phone companies, for the cable companies, there's a huge economic incentive now to build the networks and to build the services that people will use. So, and this has been going on for 20 years. The whole thing keeps expanding to meet demand, and we think that'll essentially continue infinitely.
But even if companies keep building out the internet so that it continues to stay just ahead of demand, some analysts warn that internet users will get fed up with those pokey response times, and this will provoke an internet backlash. But according to Nick Donatello, the current users of the net probably won't rebel in any significant way. Donatello's research company, Odyssey, recently completed a survey of internet users.
Well, we found that people are quite satisfied with their internet experience from home. I think part of that is owing to low expectations. More than 50% of the people who have an online service at home say they're very satisfied.
That's the good news, Donatello says. The bad news is that only 14% of American households use the internet now, and they're the kind of early adopters who will put up with today's technical headaches. If the web is to become truly a mass medium, Donatello says, it will have to work all the time, just like television.
Imagine if you sat down on a Thursday night to watch ER, it was 10 o'clock at night, you put your feet up, you turn on the TV, you settle in, and 10 minutes into the show, a little box comes up that says, sorry, server unavailable, please try again later. That's a joke. Americans aren't going to put up with that.
Donatello believes it could take another 20 years to build out the internet so that it will work as well and as easily as television. And in the end, nearly everyone believes that Bob Metcalf has furthered that goal by forcing the internet industry to examine its shortcomings. In San Francisco, I'm John McChesney.